President Bush begins his second term this week with bigger Republican majorities in both the House and the Senate. During his first term, the president got much of what he wanted from Congress, and he didn't veto a single bill. But Mr. Bush's plans to revamp Social Security and the tax code while keeping a tight lid on domestic spending may mean a more contentious second term with lawmakers, including fellow Republicans. NPR's David Wellner reports from the Capitol.
President Bush invited all the new members of Congress to the White House earlier this month, and he made clear he's relying on them for what he hopes will be his second term's legacy.
I don't know about what your time frame is for the amount of time you anticipate spending here, but mine's about four more years. And then I'm going home. And so I want to confront problems, and I will. I'll call upon Congress to take on big issues. And I look forward to working with members of both parties to do just that.
The big issues, as the president sees it, are almost all part of a domestic agenda: overhauling Social Security and tax rules, limiting lawsuits, expanding No Child Left Behind to include high schools, and changing immigration laws to allow more foreigners to work in the country legally. UCLA congressional expert Barbara Sinclair says, by comparison, the national security and tax cut agenda of the president's first term looks easy.
For a second-term president has set out a very aggressive and ambitious agenda, and one that in some ways has much tougher issues to deal with than the first one.
The president boasted after winning re-election that he has political capital and is willing to spend it. But Massachusetts Democratic Senator Ted Kennedy, who helped push through Mr. Bush's signature No Child Left Behind Act, belittled the president's second-term plans in a speech last week at the National Press Club.
I categorically reject the deceptive and dangerous claim that the outcome last November was somehow a sweeping or even a modest or even a miniature mandate for reactionary measures like privatizing Social Security, redistributing the tax burden in the wrong direction, or packing the federal courts with reactionary judges.
And presidential scholar George Edwards of Texas A&M University points out that the president failed to provide electoral coattails for most Republicans in last fall's congressional races. As a consequence, Edwards says they feel they owe little to their lame duck leader.
Although we have some advantages with having Republican control of both houses of Congress, and that's big and that's very important, I'm not sure it's enough, particularly when Republicans no longer have the incentive to position him as a successful incumbent.
Georgia House Republican Jack Kingston says members of his caucus are more comfortable about agreeing to disagree with the White House than they were 4 years ago. He says congressional Republicans are still quite willing to work with the president.
But when you look at Social Security reform, tax simplification, illegal immigration, the war on Iraq, transportation bill and energy bill, we've got a huge domestic agenda. So certainly we're going to have some disagreements.
The war in Iraq, in fact, has many GOP lawmakers growing increasingly skittish, at least in private. David Gergen, who advised four previous presidents, three of them Republicans, says President Bush faces palpable unrest over Iraq among fellow Republicans.
If the elections bring new stability, his relations with Congress will improve. If the elections touch off even greater violence and seem to be leading towards civil war, there's going to be great pressure from the Congress to pull out, to set that deadlines and start pulling out.
The president also faces the prospect of pitched battles in the Senate over his judicial nominees. Sarah Binder of the Brookings Institution says the biggest fight between Senate Democrats and Republicans will likely be over a Supreme Court vacancy.
If a Supreme Court vacancy occurs on the sooner side, and if it is contentious and it produces this terrible conflict over the vacancy, that is going to eat up an enormous amount of the Senate's time.
Which would leave that much less time for the rest of the president's agenda. Topping that agenda is his push for changing Social Security to allow private retirement accounts. The Cato Institute's Michael Tanner predicts a huge fight in Congress over Social Security, but he thinks it's one the president can win.
This is a president who has won every battle that he has wanted to win, whether it was the war in Iraq, the Medicare bill, the No Child Left Behind bill, or his four tax cuts. When he has really put his mind to it, he has been able to get Congress to do what he's wanted them to do.
Still, Georgetown University's Stephen Wayne credits many of the president's first-term legislative victories to the huge political impact of the 9/11 attacks.
Power does shift to the president in time of crisis, but we have moved out of the crisis mode for term two. So one of the difficulties will be to get Congress to act in a politics-as-usual environment.
The president maintains that crises still drive his agenda. Much of what becomes his second-term legacy may depend on his ability to persuade Congress those crises are real. David Wellner, NPR News, The Capitol.